brings up a variety of reactions. For some, father is an absentee character in the story of their life. For others, it brings up the warm memories of a father who was present, but still limited by his humanity and imperfections. In the story of Scripture, God is the perfect, loving Father, one who chases us down with his love and will never abandon us. Through Jesus, we have the chance to encounter this everlasting Father. Come, experience the difference Jesus makes.
If we could bring up the house lights, and if you could open with me to the prophet Isaiah, to the 9th chapter, to the 6th verse. As our video already read this passage, I want to read it again, especially to call our attention to these beautiful, these wonderful titles that Isaiah gives to this child, who, as we've talked about this Advent season, we can make no mistake, is Jesus. This child that is born to us, Jesus who is born to us, who is given to us. The prophet Isaiah says this in chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in this child being born to us, who is all of this and so much more that Isaiah doesn't even begin to list here in verse 6, his coming, Jesus is coming, the Messiah comes coming, brings us so much hope, love, joy, and peace. Because this child, our Jesus, has brought light. Light into the darkest world. Light into our darkest of times. Light to help us find our way out. He has brought us light. And if we actually take our passage, Isaiah 9:6, and we put it back in its original context, what we find out is there significance in this fact that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, has brought us light. It says this in Isaiah 9:1-3. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into content the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. You rejoice. They rejoice, before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Jesus is this light, as Isaiah will testify to us when he says, for unto us a child is born, a child is given. Jesus is this light that has been brought into the world that has increased the joy. If we recall what I spoke about with Isaiah's prophecy, is all the way up to this point, it's kind of doom and gloom. From the calling to Isaiah to chapter 9, it's about the downfall of the nation. It's about the overturning of Israel and Judah. It's about the exile that was to come. It's very sad. It's very gloomy. But what is it the prophet says here at the very beginning of 9? But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. And if we connect that to verse 6, for unto us a child is born. There's something about who Jesus is and what Jesus does that turns the most gloomiest of situations into the brightest days, into the brightest of hopes, into the most joyous occasions. And whether you're an ancient Israelite then, facing the pending exile, the downfall of the entire nation, or you are a modern American now dealing with the present sufferings and pains of this life today, there is still this light. He is still here. He is still present. He is still working. He is still moving. The same Jesus that brings so much hope, so much love, so much joy, and so much peace is here today with us. And we understand this through something that is said in these titles, in particular, Everlasting Father. And we find great joy in Jesus, in the fact that he is our Everlasting Father. Jesus, our Everlasting Father. And it's not just a fleeting joy, something that's here one day and gone the next. And I have to apologize ahead of time, trigger warning for 49er fans out there. Kind of like the fleeting joy that the 49ers gave all the 49ers fans this last year to go to the Super Bowl, only to get beat by the Chiefs. I mean, who loses to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Sorry, I had to go there. Joy that's there in one moment and gone the next. Once again, I'm sorry to open up any deep emotional wounds there may have been there, but I digress. The point is, Jesus' joy, what Jesus brings, isn't just here one moment and gone the next. It's sustaining joy. It's perpetual joy. It is eternal joy. And it's because he is our Everlasting Father. Now, to some, that may sound a little weird. A child is born to us who is called our Everlasting Father. Child, Father, child, Father. Unless this is a really, really terrible show like Murray, and, you know, we're revealing who the Father is right now, this is just really weird. If you think about it, how is a child a father? How is a baby to be born considered a father? In fact, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon once stated it this way: how complex is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Almost in the same breath, the prophet calls him a child and a counselor, a son, and the Everlasting Father. Of course, Jesus' own teachings may help us clear this up in our more modern understanding, even our New Testament understanding of who Jesus is, but at the same time, it doesn't quite get to the point Isaiah is trying to make. Of course, we can read in the Gospel of John in 14:7-11, where Jesus says this: if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on the account of the works themselves. More simply put, in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. We can never forget this simple but yet profound truth about Jesus. He is Mighty God. As Isaiah taught us last week with the title, Mighty God. And we spent a long time this past year discussing this wonderful mystery that we have known as the Trinity. One God, three persons, one God. We have experienced God in three distinct persons: God our Father, who is God above us; God the Son, who is God with us; and God the Spirit, who is God in us. Our God, singular God, who is three persons in one. You can say it doesn't make sense. Well, let me confuse and muddy the waters more. Jesus wasn't just man, but he was also fully God. 100% man, 100% God. He is Mighty God. However, this isn't the conclusion Isaiah wants us to draw from this. about Jesus being the everlasting Father. Of course, we understand this with the full revelation of God, with the coming of this child that was to be born to us, with the coming of the Messiah. We fully understand that kind of connection. But Isaiah wouldn't have, nor would have anybody in Isaiah's time understood that kind of connection of the Trinity. They would not have understood this. So what is Isaiah getting at when he calls this child everlasting Father? Isaiah's already declared him to be mighty God. Why would he repeat himself? He doesn't. The titles Mighty God and Everlasting Father are two distinct titles. Each are important in understanding who this child is that is to be born to us, who this Jesus is. And first and foremost, we need to understand the way the world was in the days of Isaiah. We need to understand the terminology they used in his world. And in particular, in the case of fatherhood, many rulers in the ancient times were considered father of their nation. Many rulers in the ancient times were considered fathers of their nation that they ruled over. The start of a lineage was known as the patriarch. We have songs in our modern culture about this. Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So, I think it is right arm, left, or something. Now that song's going to be stuck inside your head all day. I'm sorry for offending your ears there. Back to my point, though. Abraham is considered the father of the nation. We even use this terminology today in our modern culture. We have forefathers, like George Washington, who is the forefather of our nation. In this time period, when a new thing came about, a new family, a new nation, any kind of thing, whoever was the bringer about of that thing was considered its father. And that father would be considered in the same role as a father would operate in any particular family. Provider, protector, sustainer. When the prophet Isaiah calls Jesus Father, he's doing it very intentionally with this in mind. Because he was going to father a new thing. A child to us was to be born that was going to bring about a new thing, a wonderful thing, his church. And he's truly father of the church, as head of the church, and he provides sustainment. He provides so much protection. He provides so much guidance as our Father, as our sustainer, as our holder and our keeper and our protector. He provides for us no matter the cost, whatever the means necessary. And in this, we must understand one more thing about him being a father. He's not just a father. He is the everlasting Father. Everlasting, eternal, perpetual. And one more thing about being the everlasting, the eternal, the perpetual Father, no beginning, no end. If he is to be a Father everlasting, the thing that he fathers must be everlasting as well. The thing that Christ has brought about, this new thing, his church, his people, you, is an everlasting, eternal promise, an eternal hope, an eternal joy that we all share in with our everlasting Father, our leader, our Lord, our King, Jesus. And that's how we can understand him being our Father, is he is the King. He is the boss. He is the great I am. And in him there is no beginning and end. God says in the book of Revelation that I am the Alpha and the Omega, which for those who don't know is the beginning and end of the Greek alphabet. God literally is saying, I am the A and the Z. if we put it in our terminology. And just like God, his kingdom, his rule and reign will have no end. He will sustain us. He will provide for us. He will protect us. No matter the cost. No matter what. For it is an eternal promise. Eternal, not finite. It is an eternal joy, not a fleeting joy that's here today and gone the next. It perpetuates then, now, and forever into the future. For unto us a child is born. When we look at Isaiah 9:7, we see this even more. It says this, of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There's a little bit of permanency in that language, if you ask me. Of the increase of his government, his kingdom, God's kingdom, God's rule and reign, and the peace, there will be no end. There is no end to his rule and reign. Praise the Lord. And from this time forth, forevermore. Forevermore. Jesus is our everlasting Father. The Messiah will be a father forever, for his fatherhood will be without end for his kingdom. This thing that God brings about through the Son will never end, will never falter, will never fade away like all the kingdoms of this earth have faded away. America, China, Russia, England, all the nations will eventually fade away. They will pass away like all the former nations, Babylon, Rome, Syria. All the nations will fade away. His kingdom, his rule and reign will never cease and will never fade away like the nations of this earth. For he is the everlasting Father, not just for the people of Israel, but for you. And for me, he is our everlasting hope. He is our everlasting love. He is our everlasting joy. He is the reason why we can be joyful in the darkest of situations, in the hardest of times, that we can truly take on joy. Because we may not know how this part of the story is going to work out, but we know how the end of the story is. And we know our Jesus has won. Our Jesus has overcome. And that death cannot hold him. Death itself, his kingdom, his rule and reign isn't limited to aging or death. It's limited by nothing. There's nothing in heaven or on earth that will ever take away his eternal fatherhood, his eternal kingdom. He was, he is, and he still will be, no matter what, our everlasting Father, now and always. Today, when I was putting my slides in, God was bringing my mind to various father figures I've had in my life. My grandfather, my first pastor, my other pastors I've had in my life, other men that have stepped up in the name of Jesus to walk with me and to show me the ways of the Lord. I think about all the wonderful things that they did for my life to keep me on the right path. And just like our video kind of stated, it was never quite perfect. But how much more perfect is our Heavenly Father? And I can only wonder, oh God, how much more you must have in store. How much more that you can do. How much more that you can provide. How much more protection you can give. Because his love is perfect. And not only is he our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, he is our everlasting Father. And because of this, we can take courage and have great joy, for Jesus still is and will forevermore be Lord, your everlasting provider, your everlasting protector and defender, for his everlasting kingdom that he has brought us into, that he's made us citizens of. Not only that, he's made us children of the King. For we are children of God. And there's nothing in heaven and on earth that will ever change this. That is what Advent reminds us of. That is what Advent shows us. And there is no extent that Jesus won't go to fulfill his role as your everlasting Father. You've heard the parable of the 99 sheep, or that they lose the one, and how the shepherd will go after the one, leaving the 99. You've heard of that parable, but there was a story in conjunction to that parable that I heard a long time ago that I really just want to share today, that really to me captures just this reckless love our eternal, our everlasting Father has for us. Some years ago, a forest fire had been brought under control, and a group of firefighters was working back through the devastation, making sure all the hot spots had been extinguished as they marched across the blackened landscape. Between the wisps of smoke still rising from the smoldering remains, a large lump on the trail caught the firefighter's eye. As he got closer, he noticed it was a charred remains of a large bird that had burned nearly halfway through. Since birds can fly so easily away from approaching flames, the firefighter wondered what must have been wrong with this bird that it could not escape. Arriving at the carcass, he decided to kick it off the trail with his boot. As soon as he did, however, he was startled half to death by a flurry of activity under his feet. Four little birds flailed in the dust and ash and then scurried away down the hillside. The bulk of the mother's body had been covered them from the searing flames. Though the heat was enough to consume her, it allowed her babies to find safety underneath. In the face of the rising flames, she had stayed with her young. She was their only hope for safety, willing to risk her own life. She gathered them under her body and covered them with herself, even when the pain reached the most unbearable moment when she could easily have thrown them away and flown away to start another family on another day. She made herself stay through the raging flames. Her dead carcass and her fleeing chicks told the story well enough. She gave the ultimate sacrifice to save her young. Jesus did and gave the very same for us. But unlike this mother bore bird, 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave. Death could not defeat him. Death could not hold him. Nor will death end his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. He has ascended on high, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, continuing his work as our everlasting Father, as our protector, our defender, our provider forevermore, everlasting and eternally. He will protect and provide for us, his church, forevermore, as his role as our protector and provider will not be limited by just death. There is nothing that can limit our eternal, everlasting Father. There is nothing at all. For Jesus bore our punishment. He bore our sin. He bore the wrath of God on the cross for us. He took our place. And he provided us a way. And that way is never going to go away. It will always be there. So in this, Christian, find joy. In this, believer, find joy, find hope, find love. Life can be very hard. And sometimes it may feel like you're stumbling in the darkness, looking, just trying to find a light switch, stepping on Legos if you're at my house, on the way, crying out in pain. No, that we who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, and his name was Jesus. And he is our everlasting Father, our guide, our protector, our defender, everlasting to everlasting, never to cease, never to end. In good times and bad, your everlasting Father, Jesus, is there. In hardship and trial, difficulty and pain, your everlasting Father, Jesus, is there. And he has not left you. We are not left alone in this world. And in this, we should have great joy. We should experience great joy, even in the most difficult of times. For we know Jesus is there. We are not abandoned. We are not alone. We are greatly loved. And we are cared for by him. What about everyone else? There are so many people that need this message of joy. Sometimes we need to be reminded of this message of joy. And that's what Advent does for us. It reminds us of this hope, of this love, of this joy, of this peace that Jesus brings to us. But there is a world out there that doesn't know. What are we going to do about that, church? How can you bring the hope, the love, the joy, the peace of knowing Jesus as your everlasting Father to your neighbors, to your families, to your friends, to your worst enemy? How can you bring the message of joy? Because there is great joy in Jesus being our everlasting Father to the world out there. It starts simply by just being present, letting them know they are loved deeply, more than they can imagine. And from there, letting them know what Jesus has done for them and reminding them of the words of the prophet. A child was born to us. His name was Jesus. And he indeed is our wonderful counselor, showing us the way. He is mighty God, because God stepped down and became man to provide us with redemption, to provide us salvation. He is our everlasting Father. His kingdom, his rule, his reign will have no end. And as we will discuss next week, he is our Prince of Peace. And how wonderful it is to know we can have peace in Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. Frankie and Alicia is going to come up here and lead us in a time of response and reflection. Maybe you're here today, you need to run to the arms of your everlasting Father. I want you to know, as always, the altars are open, our prayer rooms open, but if you go into the prayer room, please bear in mind social distancing and respect other people's space. But let's do that today. Let's run into the arms of our everlasting Father. And let's hear him say the words, it's going to be okay. Because it's going to be okay because he has overcome.